This morning I want to talk to you about the fact of judgment. I think all of us know that judgment is coming. It may not be very far away. We need to be ready, prepared for the second coming of our Lord, be ready for that time that he says it's enough. Hebrews 9:27 is our scripture reading, very familiar passage of scripture. It just reminds us of the fact that we have an appointment. It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. When the Apostle Paul was being transported as a missionary prisoner to Rome, his ship docked to the south of Rome in the Italian port city of Puteoli. This was a holiday resort town for fashionable Roman society. It had a spa with nearby hot sulfur springs. Many of the Roman emperors had their villas there. Puteoli lay in the shadow of a great and rugged mountain by the name of Vesuvius. It was a volcano. It hadn't erupted for 1,000 years, but Vesuvius, shortly after Paul's time, erupted. It exploded like an atomic bomb. It erupted for 40 hours, and while Puteoli was spared, another nearby city was flooded by molten lava, buried with the inhabitants to where that they could not escape. And they were killed by the gases in the ash, then preserved by the molten lava which rolled over them and hermetically sealed them in a gigantic tomb of pumice. That city was Pompeii. And for many years, it remained buried under 20 feet of hardened lava. Excavations have given us a perfectly preserved Roman city that was frozen in time, caught in the very act of being itself. I can simply tell you that when the Lord Jesus Christ says it's enough the second time, that the world that we live in will be caught very much being themselves. Business as usual, eat, drink, and be merry, that everything is going to continue the way it's always gone. That's what they said back in Noah's day, and it'll be the same in our day. Folks are not looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible said the end of all things is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to end this reign of sin. And when he comes back, there'll be no time for repentance. There'll be no time for an individual to make peace with God. At that particular time, it will be too late. Have you ever had an appointment and then for some reason you were too late in order to make the appointment? Well, when it comes to this time in life, knowing that our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ and there is salvation in none other than him, then we need to understand that we cannot afford to be too late. We need to turn about. If we're not headed in the right direction, turn about. For any other course means disaster and eternal death. Now, it's easy to be a pessimist in the world in which we live this morning. Why is our world so dark today? Why are we unable to rise above the circumstances today? I don't think any of us would ever have imagined 15 or 20 years ago that our world would be in the turmoil and the mess that we find it in today. I don't understand how it could happen so quickly, but it simply reminds me that everything is on schedule, that everything that God said would happen in his word is going to happen at the appointed time. And so we need to understand that everything is on schedule. It hasn't caught God at unawares. Our world is certainly a cause to be pessimistic, but I think that for all of us that are here this morning, we need to be realistic and understand that the Word of God is coming to pass just the way that God said that it would. The problem in our world has always been, and still that way today, is sin. Sin has reigned. It seems like the devil is in charge. It seems like everything is going down in a handbasket. But I'm here to tell you, God's in control. And man can rise above his sins. Aren't you glad of that? That we can rise above the sin problem that we have in our life, and that's through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we recognize that we are sinners, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, every one of us this morning are sinners in the sight of God, but praise God, for us that are Christians, we're saved by grace. I know that we must trust him to be saved. I trusted him a long time ago, and I found him to be honorable. I found him to be a gentleman. I found him to be true to his word. Whatever he promised, he has always followed through. So I'm here to remind you this morning that if we ask him for forgiveness of our sins, we know he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The gospel is truth. And one of these days, the day is going to come that he said would come, and we're going to stand before him to account for the life that we have lived. There is a God, and he is a righteous God. There is a God, and he is an omnipotent God. And that day of reckoning that he said that would come, it will come. In that day, God will wipe out all evil forever. He delays his coming, and he delays judgment for one reason and one reason only this morning. He loves us. The love of God is so great that he sent his son to die upon the cross of Calvary for all of our sins. God spares us day by day, but there will finally come a time when the Lord will say, it is enough. Some facts about the judgment. Number one, it is certain. Possibilities abound everywhere, but certainties are few. You see, God's word shows that there is a day of judgment that is coming, and that is a certainty. And we ask the question, why is judgment a certainty? Number one, because of who and what God is. He is a holy God, and it tells us in Psalm 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. God does not make any peace with sin. God hates sin. It's a stench to the nostrils of God. And so when you live in sin, know that God hates that sin. He loves you, but he hates the sin that is in your heart and life. Some sins are judged immediately. I've seen individuals that decided they were going to sow some wild oats. And they went out and maybe they got drunk and they were driving in a reckless manner and they had a wreck and took their life. Drastic. But that happens, doesn't it? You see, the majority of folks who die, die with their boots on. They don't plan to die, but they die anyway. So it reminds us of the fact that judgment is going to come and that there's going to be that some individuals are going to be judged down here as well as up there, but you reap what you sow. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sin and judgment are like sowing and reaping. The sin determines the judgment. The seed determines the harvest. Sowing to the flesh is asking for a harvest of corruption. You sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind, is what the Bible says. It reminds us that your reaping will be consistent with your sowing. Now, Ernie and Sandy planted our church garden that many of you forgot all about. I said, well, they won't forget when it comes harvest time. No, I'm not getting after you. I just appreciate the fact of the ones that did come, the two of them that came, they got it done. And I had to go to the auction for Hillsdale, and we came back and looked, and it was all done. And I knew, I'd read on Facebook already that it only two showed up. And I patted them both verbally on the back for what they have done. But listen, I don't know why I got off on that, but judgment is coming, isn't it? And I don't mind telling you, I don't mind it coming. I know that a lot of folks are not going to be ready when the judgment comes, but I'm here to tell you that I'm a child of God, and I know where I'm going. Because I put my trust and my faith in Him a long time ago, and so I know that when that time comes, I know where I'm going. And there's a confidence of knowing where you're going, of knowing that you have peace with God and you've got eternal life. What a joy to have that kind of confidence. But I've got it because of this book. This book tells me that I can have confidence in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Satan has tried to deny the certainty of judgment. Remember, God told Adam and Eve that you shall not eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and if you do, you'll die. Now, He said all these other trees in the garden, you can eat from them, but if you eat of this one tree, you'll die. The devil comes, and he said, now, you'll not surely die. God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes will be open and you'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. God's jealous. But they found out the bitter truth that Satan is a liar. He's always been a liar. And he deceived them. And as a result, there came sickness, aging, and death. You know, if we had never sinned, you know, we can blame Adam and Eve, but we've done a pretty good job ourselves. But if we had never sinned, we'd never be sick. You'd never grow old. You'd never have any kind of pain. Did any of you have any arthritic pains? Bursitis? Had to have your joints replaced? I'll tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be almost a new man. Because I've got metal here and I've got metal there and I've been stitched and I've been, you know, whatever they've had to do. I know a little bit about that, but I'm telling you, He's going to give us a new body. It's an incorruptible body. He's going to give us a new body that will no longer deteriorate. We don't have to worry about bursitis and arthritis, and we don't have to worry about heart disease, and we don't have to worry about all of those issues. Praise the Lord for that. God's judgment is sure, and the assurance that judgment is coming is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Acts 17:31 said He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men, in that He has raised Him from the dead. Judgment is as certain as the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and on the third day He arose after He was put in that tomb. And because He lives, we can live, and we can look to Him high and lifted up by faith, and have forgiveness of our sins. Judgment is also near. When the Holy Spirit would come, He would convict or convince the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He tells us judgment has already come. Satan has already been judged and defeated at Calvary. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all the world? In that was your sins and mine. The sins of all the world. But if he had remained in that tomb, we'd still be in our sins. But praise God that on the third day, Jesus Christ arose from the grave, and they came to the grave early that morning. And the angel said, he is not here. He is risen. And so we serve a risen Savior, and because he lives, we can live. How near is judgment? No one knows, but note the warnings. It says in Revelation 22, verse 10 and 11, the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. John is simply saying that judgment will not alter a person's life and character. If he is filthy, he'll remain filthy. If he is holy, he'll remain holy. In other words, there are no second chances after death. There's no second chances after judgment. Peter wrote, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. James said, behold, the judge standeth before the door. Judgment is as close as the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead, or the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. He could come at any moment. And then judgment is not only certain and near, it's good. Most people think of judgment as being something that's awfully bad. It's a negative. Sermons on judgment are not always well received. But the Bible said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's what makes judgment good. John 5:24 said, verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Isn't it wonderful to know that this is not the end down here? That on the other side, there's something far better? Isn't it nice to know that we're going to live on for all eternity? But we're going to live in a far better place. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But the Christian's work will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, it said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Bible tells us that our stewardship is going to be examined, and that we're going to account for what we've done and what we have not done, the motives of why we have done what we have done. But what about the unbeliever? They are not judged at the judgment seat of Christ with the believers, but they will be judged at the judgment known as the Great White Throne Judgment, depicted in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. The Bible tells us that they will stand before him, the small and the great, the rich, the poor, the powerful and the weak. They'll all stand, those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And the Bible tells us that as they stand before that great white throne, the results of judgment, well, they're a little bit different in the sense that these folks can suffer eternal loss. Isn't it an awful thing to misspend your life, live in sin, die in sin, stand before God with your sins intact, and the penalty is eternal death? And the Lord comes to you and says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I do not know you. And they're cast into the lake of fire, and that is depicted in Revelation chapter 20 and this is the second death. Wouldn't it be awful to be in the throes of death, and yet you'll never die? You'll continue to live in the throes of death for all eternity. Not a pleasant picture, but it's reality. But for the child of God, judgment is good. Why is God's judgment good? Paul starts out and tells us that it's according to truth. In Romans chapter 2, he said, "Thou art inexcusable, O man, for thou that judgest doest the same thing." Then he contrasts man's judgment with the Lord's judgment. And he says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." In other words, there is no hypocrisy with God. There is no inaccuracy, no falsehood. God's judgment is according to truth. His judgment is righteous. His standards are perfect. He makes no mistake. No one can claim that they have been misjudged or treated unfairly at the judgment of God. His judgment is according to truth. But his judgment is preceded by mercy. The Bible teaches us that God never judges unless he shows mercy first. And I think a good example is that of the antediluvian world when God sent Noah to preach for 120 years. And yet no one repented. No one turned to God. 120 years passed and finally the rain came. And Noah and his family were spared in the ark. And the Bible also tells us that he warned Sodom and Gomorrah that if they could find 10 righteous in the city, he would spare it. But he couldn't find 10 righteous in the city. As it was in the days of Noah and it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so will it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. You see, the Bible reminds us of the fact that judgment is going to come. We need to be ready for that hour. And it'll be just like it was back then. There'll be folks that are waiting, thinking it's not ever going to happen, but all of a sudden, it'll happen. Judgment Day. In the history of New England, May the 19th, 17 and 80 has become known for its foreshadowing of the Judgment Day. At noon, the skies were turned from blue to gray. By mid-afternoon, they had become so black that men fell on their faces and knees before God and cried out to God for mercy ere they went to their doom. On that day, the Connecticut House of Representatives was in session. They said when darkness fell by day, some began to shout, plead for mercy. Others demanded an immediate adjournment. The Speaker of the House, Colonel Abraham Davenport, called for silence, and then he spoke. He said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there's no cause for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. I wish, therefore, that candles be brought." I don't know when he's coming, but I want to be found doing my duty, doing what God wants us to do. And when the time comes, we can rejoice. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. So the question is this morning, are you ready to meet him? I hope everyone here is ready. But you know, the good news is that you can get your ticket this morning. The train hasn't left the station yet. Isn't that good? And you can get your ticket this morning to go to heaven. If you haven't already signed up and have it, you know, you can get it today. Because you and I serve a living Savior that loves us. Will you bow for prayer?